All right, let's dive in this morning. If you've been with us over the last several weeks, you know that we've actually been in a series within a series. But today, I felt like the Lord wanted us to break away from that series just in honor of Father's Day. And even though the scripture we're going to read today isn't specifically written to fathers, I actually think that there are some definite words of wisdom that can easily be applied to fatherhood. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me give you just a little bit of background on this section of scripture that we're about to read. If you've been with us in the midst of our series through the Bible, you know that in the New Testament, we've already looked at several books that were actually letters written by Paul to churches that he had actually helped plant. And 1 Thessalonians is another letter written by Paul to the church there in Thessalonica. Now, when Paul and Silas helped plant the church there in Thessalonica, there were many Jews and Greeks that gave their life to Jesus, and the church, it began to flourish quickly. But the problem is, when the Roman government realized that these followers were worshiping someone other than Caesar, it began to cause quite a stir in the area. And the persecution became so intense that Paul and Silas actually had to flee the area. They had to flee the city, which was extremely disappointing to both Paul and Silas because they had come to love the people there in Thessalonica so passionately. And so this letter from Paul was written a little later to encourage them and actually to celebrate their faithfulness after hearing that they were actually growing. And God was doing amazing things in the midst of this intense persecution. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me as we're going to read part of this letter from Paul to the church there in Thessalonica. It's 1 Thessalonians 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 12. This is what it says. Paul says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." And we're going to stop there. Now, Paul and Silas had become like father figures to the church there in Thessalonica. As a matter of fact, in verse 11, you saw there, Paul says, "We dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." And so as we look at these verses this morning, I want to point out four characteristics that we see here in Paul and Silas that I think actually made them good father figures. Now, the truth is, these are characteristics that all of us, whether we're fathers or not, should strive to have in our lives. But because it's Father's Day, I am going to look at them as four characteristics of a good father. All right? And so, number one, the first characteristic is this: a good father expresses genuine love. A good father expresses genuine love. Notice what Paul says in verse 8. He says, "We loved you so much." In the original language, these words expressed an intense kind of love. Not a one-time or a passive kind of love, but one that is deep and continuous. The kind of love that gives over and over again. And I think this is an important characteristic for fathers, because expressing love doesn't always come natural for us men, right? Am I wrong there, men? It doesn't always come natural for men. It usually comes a lot easier for women than it does for men. I think this is why the Bible tells husbands specifically in Ephesians to love their wives, because it's not always natural for a lot of us to love or to express that love. While for women, expressing genuine love comes so much more naturally. Women are just naturally more nurturing. A great example of this is when parents have their first child. Oftentimes, the new dad is like the fish out of water, right? Trying to figure out, how do I hold this thing? It's so awkward, right? Well, most mothers just have this natural instinct to take hold of their children. And then when the baby cries, right, dad begins to get nervous, maybe freak out a little bit. What's wrong? What did I do? How do I fix it? Right? That's the response often of fathers. While mom just seems to know, well, they're hungry or they need their diaper changed. The reality is, as men, we often have to learn these things. But if we take time to learn, to work through the awkwardness, we begin to enjoy our little ones. We love holding them. We love expressing our love to them. We enjoy playing with them. We enjoy watching them laugh. And we love comforting them when they cry. But here's the thing. I was a youth pastor for many years, and I watched this happen. Many men do a great job of loving their little ones, right? But as they grow up, things begin to get a little awkward again. And my encouragement to fathers this morning is this: never stop telling your kids that you love them. Never stop telling. It doesn't matter how old they are. Never stop telling your kids that you love them. I continue to walk into my kids' rooms at night before I go to bed and say, "Good night, I love you. When was the last time I told you? I hope you know I love you." We can't stop telling our kids that we love them, because the love of a father is a powerful thing. Genuine love in and of itself by anyone is a powerful thing. One of my favorite stories of love in the Bible is a story I think most of you are familiar with. It's the story of the prodigal son. The son, if you don't know, asks for his father's inheritance. Before his father passes away, he's like, "Can I just have my inheritance now?" And the father gives him his inheritance. And he goes off with the inheritance into a faraway country. And what does he do? He ends up squandering all of the inheritance. And when he runs out of money, he ends up getting a job feeding pigs. And he's so hungry that even the food that he's giving to the pigs sounds good to him. And as he sits there with nothing, no money, nothing, no food, nothing, feeding the pigs, it says in John 15:7 that he actually came to his senses. And he starts thinking, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father." Now, I want you to notice something important here about that story. This young man just squandered the inheritance his father had given him. It's gone. But he still felt like he could go back to his father. Why? Because I think many of us, if we did that, we'd be like, "I could never go back. I can't go face my father. I can't go back now. Why could he go back? Well, it doesn't really tell us why in the story, but we can guess from what we know of the father later in the story that it's probably because growing up, that father expressed a genuine love to his son. I'm guessing this son probably knew he was loved. And because of that, he wasn't afraid to return to his father despite what he had done. Because he knew the truth of who his father was. Now, I imagine the whole way home, right, he was rehearsing what he was going to say to his father, how he was going to explain everything. But before he could say anything, if you know the story, his father ran out to him, threw his arms around him, embraced him, and even gave him a kiss. This father obviously had no problem expressing his love for his kids. This is the kind of genuine love God desires from us as fathers, from us as followers of Christ. Why? Because it's the same kind of love that he gives to every single one of us. Our Father in heaven always leaves the door open for us to come back to him, to come home again. Even when we've left him and squandered our inheritance, he's still there waiting, looking, ready for us to return. And as dads, I think we need to express this kind of genuine love to our kids. Our kids need to know that no matter how deep their sin, no matter how far they fall, they can always come home. When our kids were little, we used to pray with them every night before bed. And we would sing a song. There were two different songs that we sang throughout the years. One was when they were real little, we first started singing a song called the Tree Song, which talked about growing up to be this strong, young tree. And so we would sing that, and we sang that for years. And then the other song was a song titled You Can Always Come Home, which we started singing actually after watching VeggieTales' retelling of the prodigal son, the Wizard of Oz. I'm not going to sing that song to you this morning, but I will read you the words of the chorus, which say this: I love you today. I love you tomorrow. I love you as deep as the sea. I love you in joy, and I love you in sorrow. You can always come home to me. Always come home, always come home, always come home to me. We sang that song to them every night after watching that VeggieTales. And the reason we sang that song is because we wanted it to be ingrained in our kids' heads that regardless of the mistakes or struggles that they made in life, they can always come home to mom and dad. As fathers, as parents, as followers of Jesus, we need to be expressing genuine love in a way that shows this to others. The second characteristic we see here in these verses from Paul and Silas is this: a good father walks the walk. A good father walks the walk. Paul writes in verse 8, we love you so much that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Notice that there is a connection there between gospel and lives. You see, it's one thing to say it. It's one thing to talk it. We can talk a good talk, right? But it's a whole other thing to actually walk it, to walk it out. Now, I'm going to pick on my dad a little bit here. And I apologize, Dad, as I know he will watch this online later. But my dad used to use this phrase. Now, it was usually in a joking manner, when he was doing something that I was told I couldn't do, right? Or that I shouldn't do. And he would respond by saying these words, "Do as I say, not as I do," right? Any of you have parents that say that to you, right? Now, I know my dad was joking most of the time, but the reality is a lot of dads and people in general, they operate in this way. We want our kids or we want others to do the right things, to live this way or that way, but we don't want to have to model it for ourselves. We don't want to walk it out ourselves. But here Paul is saying, when we lived among you, we not only told you the good news, we modeled it for you by how we lived. They walked the walk. And as fathers and as followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to model the Christian life for our kids and for others. Now, does it mean that we have to be perfect? No. My kids will tell you that I am not perfect, okay? I've told them they can be honest. I don't make my kids say I'm perfect when I'm not. but we're not perfect, but we should be doing our best to be the example that God has called us to be. And the thing we have to understand is that if we call ourselves men of God, then our kids ought to know it by the way that we live. If we call ourselves followers of Jesus, then others should know it by the lives that we live. You see, being a Christian should affect the decisions that we make in life. Being a Christian should mean that our homes and the values that we have in our homes are different than the value of others, of non-Christian homes. If we want to be good fathers, if we want to be good followers of Jesus, we can't just talk the talk. We have to be walking the walk and demonstrating what it looks like to live our lives for Jesus. Amen? Now, the third characteristic we see in these verses is this. A good father demonstrates a good work ethic. Paul says in verse 9, "You remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." Now, when you look through the scriptures, no one can ever accuse Paul of not working hard. He knew what it meant to lay down his life for the Lord. He knew what it meant to lay down everything that he had to serve God. And I think we have a responsibility as parents, as men and women of God, to teach a good work ethic to our children, to those younger than us. Oftentimes, if our kids don't see a father who is a hard worker and who has a good work ethic, they'll never learn it. And I think there are two ways that we can teach this to our kids. First, we teach by example, right? By working hard ourselves, letting our children see that hard work in and through us. You see, young kids, they so often want to emulate their parents, right? And if we demonstrate these work ethics with balance, right, because you can go the other direction and work too hard and not rest on the Sabbath like we're supposed to, right? And so there's the balance in there. And if we demonstrate this with balance, I believe they will learn by example. And then secondly, we teach by allowing them to do things themselves. We have to give them the opportunity to try. And with that, we have to allow them to make their own mistakes and to learn from the mistakes that they make. You know, last week we talked about the fact that it's okay to try and to fail because we can actually learn from our failures. And as parents, we have to give our kids a safe place to fail, right? Some of you may or may not know that my wife, Stacy, she used to be a proofreader for Harvest House Publishers. And years ago, she proofread a book written by a lady who basically had two sets of kids, okay? And what I mean by that is this. They had had two kids, and when the youngest was like 18, I think, this lady ended up getting pregnant again, right? And not wanting this third child to grow up basically as an only child, she then had a fourth child. And so in essence, her and her husband kind of raised two sets of kids, the ones that went all the way through high school, graduated, and then the next kids that came. And so basically, they raised two sets of kids. And in the book, she talked about how she did everything for her first two kids. She did everything she could to shelter them, to make life as easy as possible for them. If they forgot their homework, she would run it and drop it off at the school for them. If they lost or broke something, she would replace it for them. And the thing she realized is that as those kids got older, they struggled. They struggled in college. They struggled holding jobs because they didn't know how to be responsible and how to do things for themselves. But with the second set of children, she did things a lot differently. She didn't shelter them as much. If they lost or broke stuff, she didn't replace it. That's the consequences of not taking care of your stuff, right? If they forgot their homework, she didn't grab it and run it and take it to the school. That's the consequences of forgetting to take your homework with you. And she talked about how her second set of kids were much more responsible and were actually much more successful in life. Why? Because she gave her younger kids a safe place to fail. If we want to see our kids grow up with a good work ethic, first, we have to model it for them ourselves. But secondly, we have to give them an opportunity to learn, to try for themselves. And then fourth, and probably really the most important characteristic we see in these verses is this. A good father operates in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in verse 10, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed." Paul says there, we were holy, righteous, and blameless. Those are some pretty bold words to say, wouldn't you? But Paul can say this not because him and Silas were those things, but because through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were able to be holy, righteous, and blameless. Colossians 1:27, one of my favorite scriptures, talks about how Christ in us makes us the hope of glory to the world. And so Christ in us, the Holy Spirit at work in us, makes us the hope of glory. It can make us the father that God has called us to be, the parents, the people that God has called us to be. You see, God has commissioned all of us to be spiritual leaders. And the truth is, as fathers, we will either lead our families closer to God or push them farther away from Him. And we've been commissioned to lead them closer. And the only way we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to seek Him daily. We have to give God control of our lives. And the reality is, if we don't do this one, if we don't do point number four, then we won't be able to do the other three that are up there, right? Because it's when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to express genuine love. It's when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to walk the walk. It's when we operate in the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to demonstrate a good work ethic for our kids and for others, because it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to do these things. Now, again, because it's Father's Day, I directed this message towards fathers. But as I said at the beginning, these four points are really for all of us. Because whether you are a father or not, we all need to be people who express genuine love towards others. We all need to be people who don't just talk the talk, but actually walk the walk. We all need to demonstrate a good work ethic for others. And we definitely all need to be seeking to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, because doing these things will help all of us become the men or women of God that He's called us to be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for Paul and Silas and the many people in Your word that were amazing examples for us. Father figures that encouraged us, Lord. I pray for the fathers in this room today that You help us to be the fathers that You've called us to be. To seek to live the lives that You've called us to live. And Lord, with that, I pray, as some of us maybe are in that stage where our kids have grown up and have moved on, we can sometimes question, man, I blew it. Maybe I wasn't the father that I should have been. And Lord, the reality is we can't change the past. All we can do is change the future. And so, Lord, help us to be people who seek to not focus on maybe the failures of our past, but to look at how can we live differently? How can we be the fathers You've called us to be from this day forward? How can we be the men and women of God that You've called us to be from this day forward, Lord? And so we give that to You. Help us not to dwell on the past and where we've fallen short, or where even as we look at these four things where maybe we've missed the mark. But help it to be an encouragement to us to grow in You, to continue to seek the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be not just the fathers, but the men and women of God that You have called us to be, Lord. And so, Lord, we just want to give You today. We want to give You this word, Lord. May You allow these things just to challenge us, Lord. I believe Your word is here to challenge us, to help us see the life that You desire us to live, and to challenge us to do our best to live it, but also to know of Your grace in the midst of our failures, Lord, knowing that we're not going to be perfect, that we are going to fall short at times, and knowing that we serve a God that is bigger than our failures, that can come alongside our shortcomings, and that can do work in the midst of our failures, Lord. And so we give these things to You this morning. We give You our lives. We give You this word. We give just this message to You and what You want to speak to us, Lord. May we be different because of what You are doing in and through us because of this word. We give it to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.